Well, we are excited that you're here tonight at the Hour of Power. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, they're on crusade. They're actually kicking off their second crusade this evening in New Braunfels, Texas, at Don Duncan's church. And they've been having some great meetings, so I know that this meeting will be just as good. And so when you're thinking about them, keep them in your prayers for the meetings that they're at. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about the power of consistency. The power of consistency. You know, most people don't fail because they lack passion. They fail because they lack consistency. Right? Let's be honest. How many of you will say consistency is hard? You know, you can have all the passion and, you know, you're excited about something, and then a couple of weeks later, it's like the shine is worn off, the new is worn off, life happens, and it's hard to be consistent. I find this the most with working out, right? I have all the passion in the world, but sometimes the consistency is lacking, right? And we live in a world that really values speed over stability, and emotion over endurance. And so this culture is working against us, right? Everything is instant. You know, we have instant text messaging, and we have instant mac and cheese. You know, you can't even wait for the water to boil. You gotta throw it in the microwave, right? Everything's is instant. We live in an instant society. And so it's hard to be patient and have that consistency. But what we know is the things in life that really matter, like relationships, like our spiritual walk, like our faith, they are not built in a short, instant amount of time, but they are built with consistency over a long period of time. You know, even in our spiritual life, we can be inconsistent. And how many of you have ever, you know, like you feel so close to God and, you know, you're praying every day and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and you stop really communicating, you stop spending time with God, and all of a sudden he feels like a million miles away. Anybody ever been there besides me, right? You know, here's the truth, right? The future isn't shaped by what you occasionally do. It's shaped by what you consistently do. Your future isn't shaped by what you occasionally do. It's shaped by what you consistently do. Somebody said this, we become what we repeatedly do. We become what we repeatedly do. So really, whether you're maybe in college or, you know, maybe you just got married or maybe you just started raising a family, or maybe, you know, you're a little bit older and you're a leader in your workplace, really, no matter what stage of life you are in, the call is the same, to be faithful, to be steady, and to be consistent, because that will equal success. The result of maturity in your life is consistency. If you show me a mature person, and age really doesn't matter when it comes to maturity. I've met a lot of immature 70-year-olds, right? Age doesn't matter so much when we're talking about maturity, but it's consistency. You cannot have maturity without consistency. Consistency is remaining steady in faith, character, and emotions, even when circumstances around us change, right? Jesus is a great example of this. Let's look over in Hebrews 13, verse 8. In the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a great model of consistency, right? And who are we supposed to emulate? We are supposed to emulate Jesus. So if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what that equals is consistency. And that's what we need to strive for. You know, consistency, it's routine. It doesn't change. It's the same thing day in and day out. You respond the same way day in and day out. You do the same things day in and day out, right? So my younger son, Wes, called me the other day, and after he got out of class, he's a senior at ORU, and he said, "Mom, I just got out of class," and he said, "Man, I feel like every day I do the same thing. I get up, I go to class, I eat lunch, I go to work, I get off work, I eat dinner, and then I go to bed." And he goes, "And then I get up and do it all over again." He goes, "It's really boring." And I kind of laughed and I said, "Well, Wes, although you could view it as boring, that's just consistency. That's just consistency. That's just being mature, doing the same thing every day." See, consistency builds character, trust, and long-term success. While emotions and circumstances fluctuate, a mature believer learns to remain steady in their faith, their habits, and their commitments. What you do consistently shapes who you become. That is consistency in your life, right? So what does that look like? If that's being consistency, if it builds character and trust and long-term success over time, what does consistency look like on a day-to-day basis, right? So consistency is the daily discipline of doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it or don't see immediate results. Consistency is the daily discipline of doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it, and even when you don't see immediate results. I love this, how consistency looks in our life. It means being the same person in public as you are in private, on your good days and your bad days. When you're having that bad day, what are you doing in private? It should be the same thing that you do in public. That's consistency. That's what it looks like in our life. Consistency isn't about perfection, because none of us are perfect, right? But it's about faithfulness over time. It's about faithfulness over time. So consistency, it's like a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not just something that you achieve quickly. Consistency takes a lifetime. It takes a whole lifetime to build consistency. But why does it matter? Why does it matter if we're consistent? Why can't we just, be one way one day and be up and down and all around? This is why it matters. See, no matter how old you are, whether you are 18 or whether you are 30 or whether you are 65, what you are doing today shapes who you will be 5 years from now. So if you eat really horrible foods, you do not exercise, you lay in bed and you watch TV, no matter your age, what will the result of that consistency look like in your life 5 years from now? It's shaping who that you're going to be. The decisions that you make right now about your faith, about your marriage, maybe about your career, right? It's shaping the habits that you do. It's shaping who you will be 5 years from now. And here's the thing. When you are not consistent, when you're up and when you're down, you might make a crucial decision in that moment of inconsistency that has lifetime penalties. Right? Sad story, actually, but I have a friend and from a long time ago, and this happened a long time ago, so don't try to figure out who it is because you don't even know this person, okay? But it was really sad. She got married and really young and was only married for a short period, and there were some unfortunate things that happened that, caused her and her husband to get a divorce. And man, that just really shook her. That shook her faith. You know, she thought this was a forever thing. And she let her emotions cause her to become inconsistent in her dedication of serving the Lord. She didn't quit serving the Lord, but, you know, she wasn't consistent in going to church. She wasn't consistent in spending time in prayer. She wasn't consistent in reading the Word. And she met a new guy, and he wasn't really consistent in those things either. And in her moment of inconsistency, she made an emotion-based decision instead of a conviction-based decision, and she married the guy. A couple of years later, whenever she got back to being consistent to her faith, she called me one day and she said, "I regret so much that in my year of inconsistency that I made a lifelong decision that now there is lifelong consequences because my husband won't go to church with me, doesn't want to serve the Lord with me. He's a great man and I love him, but we can't share this part of our life." And that's why, you know, it's important to be consistent because you might be making decisions that are going to affect you in the future. And so it's really important that we remain consistent, that because there's power in that, right? So let's talk about that. What does that look like? Number one, consistency overcomes emotional fluctuations. Consistency overcomes emotional fluctuations. You know, our feelings are going to change, right? Feelings change all the time. But God's word never changes. Amen? And so we have to look at God's word for our consistency to help us overcome those natural emotional fluctuations. And what I want to say here is that emotions aren't the enemy, right? Emotions make us human. Emotions make us not robots, right? Emotions are a good thing. However, if we make decisions based off of our emotions, it can lead us to problems, all right? So let's look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. We're going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, "If you live without restraint," right? What is restraint? What does that mean? You know, anybody ever have to restrain your emotions? Because they were a little out of control, right? That's what this is talking about. If you live without restraint, you just let your emotions run wild and are unable to control your temper, you're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack, right? We have to be able to have consistency because it overcomes those emotional fluctuations. Let's read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go to verse 58. We're going to read this one in the Passion Translation. Of course, this is Paul talking, and he said, "So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable." Anybody know somebody that's emotionally unstable? Don't raise your hand if that person is sitting next to you. Right? Some people are known for being emotionally unstable, and everyone around them knows it but them, right? "So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures." Let's kind of look at a Bible example of emotional instability versus stability, all right? Let's talk about Peter, the disciple, okay? So Peter was a fisherman. He was kind of known for his impulsive nature. He just kind of didn't think. He just reacted, right? And so his real name was Simon, but when Jesus called him to be a disciple, he renamed him Peter, which means rock. which I'm sure everyone around found very humorous because Peter was anything but a rock. He was, you know, up, down, and unstable in his emotions. They fluctuated. But the thing is that Jesus saw past the present and was able to be prophetic in the future and call him Peter, which means rock. And I love that Jesus always sees past the present into your future, and he sees you for who you are becoming, not always for who you just are in the present state. Amen. So, you know, his reactions, they were often led by emotion and not really by wisdom, which created that instability. I mean, think about it. Some examples. You know, when Peter walked on the water, right? Amazing. He's walking on the water, right? What happened? He let his emotions get the best of him. I'm sure he was walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh no, look at all the waves around me. And what did that emotion create in him? He got scared, right? I'd kind of be scared too if I was walking like in the middle of the ocean that was, you know, 9 million feet deep and there might be sharks swimming around. You don't know. But he let the emotion get the best of him, and what happened? He started to sink, right? He started to sink. See, feelings, they are really great indicators, right? They're terrible leaders. They're terrible leaders, right? Your emotions indicate to you, okay, you know, in that moment when Peter was walking on the water and he kind of looked at the water and the waves and he started to get afraid, started to get in fear, okay, that's a natural emotion. But what do we know that we do whenever we have fear? Do we let it overwhelm us and sink us? No. We look to the answer who keeps us steady. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus, right? And so we know if we're kind of feeling afraid about something and we're feeling that fear, what do we have to do? We have to focus more on Jesus. It's an indicator that, hey, I'm feeling this feeling, so I better really get in and have a plan to really spend some time in this, in the Word, to overcome this fear. Feelings are great indicators, but terrible leaders. You know, Peter over in Matthew 16, he was like boldly declaring, you know, to everybody, because nobody was like, you know, who is Jesus? And he was like, Jesus is the Messiah. He's coming to save the world. I mean, he's just bold about it. And then Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples, like, you know, hey, you know, there's going to be a time when, you know, I'm going to be crucified on a cross and, you know, this has to happen. And what happened? Peter let his passion, he let his emotion get the best of him, and he started rebuking Jesus and saying, no, you're not going to die. And what did Jesus have to do? He said, get behind me, Satan. He had to rebuke him because of his emotion, because of his passion. It led him to be used by the enemy to try to get Jesus off his course, right? See, passion without direction can be damaging. Passion without direction can be damaging. Passion is good, but it's got to have direction, right? And so then, of course, the craziest, I think, in my opinion, of Peter and his emotionalism was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Whenever the soldiers were coming to take Jesus, it was his time, this was his moment, you know, to be crucified. And what did Peter do? He's like, no. And he got all emotional and he took out his sword and he just starts chopping off people's ears, right? That's pretty emotionally unstable, right? People chopping off people's ears, right? He let his emotion get the best of him. But that wasn't the end of Peter's story. Over in Acts 2, you know, he was in the upper room, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he actually ended up becoming transformed and so stable. And he was one of the great leaders of the early church in the book of Acts. And he led so many people, and he was so stable, and he was a great leader. See, Jesus knew way back when he was emotionally unstable, he called him Peter the Rock because he knew his future, and he knew who he was going to be. and he became consistent. See, our consistency can overcome our short-term emotions, right? Our fluctuations. And so I love John Maxwell. He said this. He said, small disciplines repeated with consistency every day lead to great achievements gained slowly over time. Consistency. We cannot let our emotions determine our decisions, determine our actions, determine our reactions, right? You know, with your spiritual life, if we're honest, you know, sometimes why we're inconsistent, and I do this too, so no stones thrown. You know, I let my feelings dictate to me whether I'm going to read my Bible that morning, right? Maybe I'm feeling a little tired. Maybe I want to hit the snooze button a few more times. That's just feeling. That's not being consistent. Consistency is saying, hey, I get up and I read the Bible every morning. My feelings have nothing to do with it. What I know is that when I spend time with my Heavenly Father, I am growing closer to Him, because James 4:8 says, come close to God and He will come close to you. So it is important for my relationship. So whether I feel like it or not, whether I feel like I'm getting anything from it or not, I am reading my Bible every day. That's consistency. That's having a consistent lifestyle. Number two. Consistency can help us to have long-term faithfulness over short-term emotions. Consistency can help us stay faithful, right? Faithful, despite problems, despite challenges, despite the emotions that come from those problems and challenges. I love over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Paul puts this in a great perspective. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, these little short-term emotional problems, you know, we need to remain faithful to the call that God has for us. Over in James 1, verse 12, you know what I love about James? Like, if you ever want somebody just to, like, kind of beat you up, slap you around a little bit, you go to James, because James will just kind of get you right. You know what I'm saying? He just kind of says it plain. James says, if your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. Amen. You know, emotions are not the enemy. They are normal. But when you let them dictate whether you're going to stay faithful to what God has called you to do, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in business, whether it means being faithful to your family, if you let your emotions override your long-term faithfulness, that is when the problem comes in, right? You have to remain faithful and committed to the life God has called you to. Over in Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, but don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. You know? Short-term emotions, short-term problems, don't let that override your long-term faithfulness. You know, I never will forget when I let a short-term emotion that I was feeling, just a short-term, a momentary, just blip in time, I almost let it rob me from fulfilling the call that God had for me. I almost turned in my ministry card because it got a little hard. It was December of 1998, and in August of that year, I had gone through a pretty significant life event, and, you know, everybody knew about that life event, but not everybody knew the reasons behind that, and I wasn't able to really share publicly my side of the story, and it was really, really difficult. It was a very difficult time in my life. I was children's pastor here at Rhema Bible Church at the time. And so, funny, it was actually December 23rd. It was the last day, and I was taking, you know, Christmas break off for Christmas. And I received a letter. So I opened it up, and it was from a lady in the church. And she went on to say a lot of things about some decisions that I had made and how horrible it was. And I mean, she was just putting me down. And then the last sentence of her letter, I'll never will forget it. Committed it to memory. I still actually keep that letter. And she said, "You are and always will be a stumbling block to women all over the world." I still have that letter to this day as a testimony. It was a church member. I sat there and I had a lot of emotions. They were short-lived, but in that moment, I drove my car down to shipping and receiving, I got boxes, and I packed up my entire office, and I loaded all those boxes up into my car. I came back into my office, I was gathering my final few things, and Risa, our church office admin, called me and said, "Hey, somebody dropped off a card for you. You know, what would you like me to do with it?" And so in my mind, I thought, well, it's my last day here, so I'm going to come down and get it, right? And so I said, "Hey, I'll be right down." So I walked down to the church office, and I got it, and I went back to my office and sat at my desk, and I opened it up. It was from a church member. And had a little Christmas, you know, money in there. And it had a note, and in this note, she started praising me. She said, "You know, hey, I want you to know, like, I know it's been a rough year for you, but, you know, you just keep doing your job. You're ministering to the children. You're making a difference." And she said, "I just feel like the Lord wants me to tell you today, don't quit, because if you quit, you will miss all that God has planned for you, and what he has planned for you is so much better than you can ever imagine." You know what I did? I went out to my car. I got all my boxes back in my office. I unpacked them all, right? Right. But I share that very personal story to let you know that do not let a little short-term problem, the emotion that you feel in the moment, you know, zoom out and realize this temporary, momentary affliction, this temporary, momentary problem, right? Don't let it stop you from being faithful, because the reward that God has for you far outweighs this light little affliction that you're going through. Amen? It is long-term faithfulness over the short-term emotion and problems. Let's look at Nehemiah. He was a great example of faithfulness to God's vision. So who was Nehemiah? You know, we don't talk about him very often. It's Old Testament. It's a book in the Old Testament. You can read. But he was a Jewish exile. And so he was working as a cupbearer, which was like a really high position for the king of Persia. And so he got the news that the walls of Jerusalem, which back in that day, they had huge walls. I mean, big stone, big, thick, you know, walls. And those were so important to the cities because that is what protected them and kept them safe. And without those walls, man, it was just, the enemies would just come in and pillage and destroy everything. And so he was really burdened by the news that the walls were broken down in Jerusalem. And he was really just, the word said he was just burdened, had a lot of emotion. But I love what it says is that Nehemiah didn't just react, but he fasted and prayed for days. See, when we have a short-term emotion, we need to learn to pause and pray. Not just react, but we need to learn to pause and pray. And so he fasted and prayed for days, and the Lord gave him clear direction what to do. And so then he went to the king with boldness and, you know, said, hey, can I have time off? Can I have resources and men to go and fix the walls, right? And, you know, this was a bold move for Nehemiah because the king just could have said, nope, you're dead, okay? That was very possible, but he found favor in the eyes of the king, and so he went and took some men with him, and they were rebuilding the wall. And there were these three guys, and they were like ridiculing them as they were fixing the wall. They were threatening them. They were just trying everything to get them to stop, to get them deterred, right? And I'm sure it was probably really agitating. But I love what it says in Nehemiah 6:9. Nehemiah told the other workers, they said this. They're just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. See, your problems should really, and your emotions should cause you to say, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil distract me. I'm not going to let anybody distract me. I'm going to concentrate and focus even harder on what God has called me to do, right? And so Nehemiah refused to be distracted by that emotion, by the people that were opposing him. And we have to refuse to let our emotions intimidate us into not fulfilling what God has called us to do. We need to have long-term faithfulness over those short-term emotions. And finally, number three, your consistency will shape your future. It will shape your future. Whatever you do consistently, spiritually, practically, it's shaping your future often more than you really realize. You know, most people overestimate what they can accomplish in a week, but they underestimate what they can accomplish in a year of steady, consistent faithfulness. Amen. You know, you're always influencing people by the consistency of your lifestyle. Your consistency and how you live your life will eventually become your legacy. It will eventually become what people say about you, how they remember you. It's the things that you do consistently day in and day out. You know, something happened to me just last Wednesday. And I did not realize that something that, it was just me. I just did it consistently over 18 years. I didn't realize that it was leaving a legacy. Last Wednesday night, our younger son, Wes, he's a leader up in kids' church, and he had the privilege of giving the sermon in kids' church. And so I asked him, I said, hey, I know I'm mom, but can I come, like, listen to you? Because it's, like, your first sermon, and it's a big deal to me. And he's like, yeah, you can come. And so he was talking about the subject of prayer. And he used this example. And, like, when he said the example, because it was about me, I almost just wanted to break down in tears in the middle of kids' church. But I didn't realize my consistency became a legacy to him. So he said this. He said, you know, guys, it's important to pray every day. And he said, my mom, when she would take me and my brother to school, as soon as we got in the car, before the car even got out of the driveway, she would pray every single day. She would pray for our family. She would pray for a good day. She would pray for our friends. She would just pray every single day. And she did that. And then he said, you know what? When I got a car and I was able to drive, and I was driving myself to school, he said, I realized I get to decide what happens in my car. And since I watched my mom pray every day, I decided that I was going to follow and I was going to pray every day on the way to school in my car. I wasn't trying to do anything special. I wasn't thinking like, oh, if I just pray, my son's going to... No. I was just doing me. I pray every day. That's what I do. I pray every day when I wake up, usually in my car. I still do it to this day. But just by consistently doing something, you are leaving a legacy for the people around you. Is your consistency leaving a good legacy? Or is it leaving a legacy of like, I don't want to be like them? What is it? You know, God often moves through patterns of obedience and not just always moments of passion. We love those moments of passion where God moves, but he often moves through patterns of obedience. Luke 16:10 says this, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. For those of you that are parents in the room or you eventually want to become parents, take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 8. Through the lens of consistency, says this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What that's really saying is be consistent in your lifestyle of serving the Lord, because your children will see it, and they will do what they see you do, not what you tell them to do. They will repeat how they saw you live. So be consistent. Of course, we cannot talk about consistency without bringing up Paul. I mean, the ultimate consistent guy, right? I mean, Paul's consistency, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I mean, the guy was unshakable in the midst of terrible circumstances. I mean, he was shipwrecked several times. He was beaten all the time. He was constantly being in prison, not even for doing bad things. He was trying to, you know, preach Jesus. But yet he was consistent. He never let his emotions, you know, guide him and lead him. He never threw a pity party. He was always like, all right, well, I'm about the work. You know, we got to rejoice in the Lord always. We got to keep pressing. Even though I'm in chains, we got to keep getting out the gospel, right? This is what he says in Acts 20, verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. That's what our legacy needs to say. Our consistency through needs to say, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. See, Paul, his consistency, it left a legacy for all of us. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and Paul's legacy of consistency lives on. And he's probably, you know, most quoted when it comes to talk about living a consistent lifestyle of not getting up, giving up, of not letting emotions and circumstances deter you from fulfilling God's will. Amen. Emotions are not the enemy. Jesus felt emotions, right? He cried. He wept when Lazarus died. You know, he got mad at the money changers and was driving them out with whips, right? He had emotions. You know, he would get weary after he spoke to the crowds, and he would send the disciples ahead, and he would retreat, you know, to kind of recharge. Emotions are just indicators, right? They're not leaders. They're indicators that we need to do something. We need to get away. We need to pause. We need to pray. We need to recharge. We need to take a breath. Don't let emotions lead you. Just let them be indicators. And then go to the Word and do what it says to have a consistent lifestyle. A consistent lifestyle is powerful. because it overcomes emotional fluctuation. It'll lead you to long-term faithfulness, and it will shape your future by helping you to leave a legacy. Amen. I want to challenge you. Take a picture of this that they're going to put up. Do this week. Sit down. Number one, say, when I'm feeling emotions, when I'm feeling those indicators, what's my plan? What am I going to do so that I make conviction-based decisions, decisions based on the Word of God, instead of emotion-based decisions and regret it later? Number two, think about this. What will my friends, my children, my grandchildren say about my faith walk and lifestyle 10 years from now? What will they say about my consistency? And number three, what is the one small thing that I can start doing consistently this week that over time will eventually become my legacy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Father, for your word. We thank you that the word brings light to us, Father. And Lord, just help every single one of us here to be more consistent. Father, to not be led by our emotions, but just to let our emotions be indicators that we need to press into you and press into your word and pause for a minute and seek your direction. Lord, help us all to make decisions that would help to shape our lives so that we can leave a legacy for those when we go up to heaven, Father. For we want our lives to be truly a legacy that people can learn from. And so, Father, help us. Help us to handle our emotions. Help us to deal with our emotions. And help us to do what we need to do in order to lead a consistent lifestyle. And Lord, this week, just help people to see the inconsistencies in their life. When they start to be led by their emotions, just point that out to them so that they can change it, Father. Just search us, Lord. Know our hearts. Show us where we need to change, and we'll change it, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we have our prayer team down here. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, healing, you just need a prayer and agreement for a situation, come down here. Guys are over here. Ladies are over here. They would be happy to pray with you. And we will see you Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for School of the Bible, and then 10 o'clock right back here for our church service. Have a great rest of your week. We love you. God bless you. Bless you.